Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. It's always something. It's always something. Where is Melly? Okay, we're gonna get my video going. I'll play you this song just for a minute. Hang on tight, everybody. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There we go. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready for fun with Melly. We are on our fifth installment of the study of Purim. Purim is coming up on 3-3. That's not a coincidence at all. And so we've been studying about that. If you're not familiar with the biblical festival of Purim, you really want to go back and watch all the other ones. I'll give you a kind of a replay of where we've gotten to from this point. But this is a celebration of the annihilation of our enemies. Who would have ever thought that there would be a biblical festival about that? But that's maybe our favorite, because that's the one we need the most right now. And so I want you to know that this is what we're studying. I hope you guys have also, yes, it is H. Clay. It is my birthday, and I just found out a few weeks ago, I didn't realize that I was born on Purim. So I really do think that the Lord knew that I would be a fighter, an Esther, and he was going to build this in me so we could take down this terrible criminal cabal. Praise the Lord. This is where we're headed. This biblical festival is not in there just for no reason. It's because this is where we're headed as humanity. That's the whole point of the biblical festivals, is to have us have that continual hope that one day this will come to fruition. I hope you guys have studied. I hope you've read your Esther chapters 8 and 9. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I wanted you guys to say in the chat, I'm going to try to watch it and maybe put on the little alarm if you've got something that you really want to share, what is happening in these chapters is the defeat of our enemies. And it is amazing that just this week, as it shows on my thumbnail for this video, Prince Andrew was just brought down. The whole world is really looking at this, wondering what in the world is going on. He is really one of the first to fall. Very, very exciting watching all of this happen. And we're going to see more to come. I hope that on Purim, I hope on the blood moon on Purim, that we're going to see more and more and more of them fall. Who agrees with me? We all want that. We want these people gone finally. And the Bible says that we will look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. It'll be wonderful. All right, so don't forget, hit the like button right now, everybody. Hit the like button and subscribe, and always share this wonderful news, because it's biblical. We were told on the board it's biblical, and it really, really is. It's not just monumental. It is actually biblical. So this is what we talk about on melissaredpill.com. I have over 1,000 videos over there, so definitely check into that. And here you'll see all of the social media. You'll find the real Melly. There's some fake Mellies out there, but I'm the real Melly. And also lots of videos, tons of videos to help you understand the wonderful truth about end times, about the lost tribes of Israel, about who Trump is, about what his role is in this. It's just really an amazing thing. Also, great information about your health, because we see how they have really wrecked our health in so many ways. And also, you'll see the books that I've written. I'm just working on the audiobook about for the Golden Age. I'm so excited. I've got four chapters more. So soon that will be out. And I just, every time I listen to it, I'm so excited, you know, read it. I'm so excited about the wonderful, bright future that we are headed to. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for this bright future we have, that you promised to us, and that we are so blessed to live in this day and to be awake and to see what you're doing. Thank you for speaking to our hearts so that we understand, and that not everyone has been chosen for this role, but we have. And so we're just so glad to be a part of that, and just very thankful. And just to see your amazing eternal plan unfolding before our eyes, and your promises that you have all throughout your word about our bright future and about how you're going to annihilate our enemies. They will be gone, and they won't bother us anymore. They won't harm us anymore. They won't have an edict out for our lives anymore. We praise you, and we thank you that you you love us that much, that you would do this to rescue us from our enemies. And we just thank you so much. And also, we ask that you to speak to us as we're studying so that we can understand, because without your spirit, we can't understand anything. But by your spirit, you say you'll guide us into all truth. Again, we pray for all of our battalion. I pray you continue to strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, let's get started. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Hopefully you're ready. This is chapter 1 and 2. This was where we were talking about, let me see if I can make sure to get the chapter. Okay, here's the title. It was on January 24th, we did the Purim study number 1, the annihilation of the New World Order, where we were getting started on it. Well, the first step was the Lord had the first queen deposed and installed Esther as the queen. So we are the queen. We are the ones rising into the positions of authority. The fake queen, I'm not picking on Vashti, whatever, but it's symbolic of removing those from authority and putting in those who are intended to be in authority. Just like it says in Revelation chapter 20, that the righteous will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. If you're not familiar, I'm going to just show this super, super quick. This is my end times book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. The Lord helped me to decode the book of Revelation. And so it talks about even going into the Revelation chapter 20, that we will rule and reign with him, God's people will. And so this is what really it's the start of it was, and how the Lord raised Esther into this position of power. Now, you probably remember that she did not tell that she was a Jew. And so the next time that the next study that we had was chapters 3 and 4. This was where the evil Haman, had an edict against God's people to kill them, to have them destroyed. And so this is, we studied that, and, you know, we found out what were they going to do about that. So this is just exactly like what we've learned, that this cabal has an edict out to kill us. And they've done a very good job of it. They've done wars, they've done disease, they've done pandemics, they've done floods, they've done fires, they've done dew weapons, they've done on and on and on. And it's the same type of thing, and they failed. They failed. We are going to defeat them, and they're going to be gone, and we're going to enter into the 1,000 years of peace on earth. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. All right. So, yes, Nisi, everybody should read the books. It will really give you joy and hope and confidence. Confidence and hope are really synonymous, that you just know that this is going to be wonderful, wonderful, and we're going to defeat them. And I know we're not done yet. I know that some things are really not going well, but you can see, you know, President Trump has stopped 8 wars. And he said, working on the 9th, and then, you know, hopefully this Iran thing is going to be resolved very soon, in Jesus' name. All right, so that was the plot to kill us. They've just tried everything in the, under the sun to try to destroy us. Okay, so here's the third installment. Study number three was the original prayer warrior. What are they going to do? The first thing they do is they pray. They pray and they fast for 3 days. And during that time, the Lord was setting many things in motion. And that's why every video that we've done, we always pray together. And we're asking the Lord to guide us on what He would have us to do. And I know that He has. I know that He has guided all of the digital soldiers all this time. And I'm just very thankful that we have been that those prayer warriors who stood in the gap during this time to pray for all the people who are in this battle and to lift them up and just... And to watch what the Lord was going to do. And so what was so cool is during this 3-day period, the Lord guided Esther to do something very, very odd, very, very strange that you wouldn't normally think that this was the way to do it. But that's what's so great about when we pray, that the Lord guides us on what His plan is, what He wants us to do, not necessarily what we would think of in our human reasoning. All right, so then what happened next was they went to, we checked it on study number four, and that's where we called it Haman's curse, because everything that he had intended got reversed. It got reversed. The curse was reversed. And so he was found out. He was discovered, and he was destroyed. The leader was destroyed. So, yeah, these are really good clues for us to see. And it's very interesting, in my opinion, that we're seeing that, this one pretty high up at the top. As if, let me grab something real quick. Someone at the really high at the top, as in, you know, Epstein, we're finding out, is very, very high at the top. It was brought down as far as, in everyone's eyes, okay, and exposed. And now someone very, very high in the, quote, royalty was just brought down this week, you know, exposed. And now everyone realizes, you know, he's going to lose his titles and it appears he's going to lose his freedom. And so it's very, very exciting. And also we see that in the book of Esther. So that's what I want you to look for today as we study, is to see, okay, what are the clues that we get as to how this is going to roll out in our day. Okay. This is why the Lord put a lot of things in here that maybe we bypass, but we want to, you know, really look for them today. All right. That was number four. If you haven't seen that already, these are over on Rumble. They are on, actually they're on YouTube, and they're also on my website, Melissa Red Pill. So you can just go to the video page and search Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R. All right. So here we go. Let's start it on chapter 8. Y'all ready? Of the book of Esther. I'm going to start in here and read it. And my mouth is so dry. Let me go see if I can get a little mint or something to keep me from getting the cotton mouth. All right, so watch for clues and pop them in to the chat as we go. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, because the last thing that happened in the last chapter was Haman was killed, okay? So then King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, gave the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, to Esther, the queen. Now this, the very first verse, the very first sentence, is really pointing out to us that this is what's going to happen. All that they have taken from us, they have stolen from us, is coming back to us. This is where the Lord says in Proverbs, He says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So the first thing that happens as soon as Haman is dead and you know, his whole house goes to Esther. And that, I believe, is very much what we're going to see, is everything they have stolen from us, everything they've done to harm us and to impoverish us and to put themselves in these mansions is coming back to us. Now, how that all works out, I don't know. If each one of y'all is going to get a mansion, I don't know how that works. But bottom line, they won't need it where they're going. And so all that they have, all their assets will go back to the people. So that's what happened immediately with Esther. And there's another thing I want you to notice, and we're going to see this as we go through this chapter, is that that was a way for the king to show that he was no longer, not for Haman, who had put out this edict in his name. And so you're seeing how it's, Now the Haman goes down and the Esther and Mordecai go up. In the same way, you know, the Epstein and the Prince Andrew go down and God's people go up, like President Trump, like Marco Rubio, like all these who are trying to work for the good of humanity. Okay, so try to see as we go along, see that the symbolism, how it's being played out in our day. Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. Now, everyone already knew that Mordecai was a Jew, and he had told Hadassah, Esther, that when she went into this position to not tell that she was a Jew, he had already realized that that was made his job harder, and it was probably that was not a good idea for him to have revealed that information, and he told Esther not to do it, and so she wisely followed his recommendation. Now, she does reveal, because she already revealed that she is a Jew, and she reveals that she and Mordecai are related. So the king didn't know that, so now he does. The king took off his ring, the signet ring. The signet ring is the one that you have on your finger, the king would have on his finger that would have his emblem on it. And so when he would make a parchment, they would close it with the wax, and then they would put the signet ring, and everyone would know that this signet ring was the king's ring and that this letter was legit. It's similar to, you know, the ways that we do things in our day to prove that this is truly from, you know, an edict from President Trump or whoever, okay? So if you had one of those signet rings and you were not, if the king had not given it to you, then you would be in big, big trouble. If you remember in the last chapter, two chapters ago, that the king had given this signet ring to Haman, to send all these letters to kill the Jews out to all the countryside. So he had the signet ring. Well, he had taken the signet ring off of Haman's hand. I don't know if it was when he was dead or alive. Either way, he got the signet ring back, and he now has given it to Mordecai. Again, lifting up Mordecai, pushing down the evildoers. So the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. So now Mordecai, so she's going to be living in the palace, and so now Mordecai is in this beautiful palace. I'm sure this home was fancy. If you remember, Haman, had said he would pay, what kind of money? What is it? Yes, I don't even remember how much money it was. Some crazy amount of money in silver to the king's treasury if he would let him have all these people killed. It was a crazy amount of money. So this man was outrageously wealthy. And so now Mordecai is now outrageously wealthy. I mean, he has all this over the whole house. That means all of his estate, his entire estate, not just the walls of the house. It's his entire, all of his finances now went to Mordecai. Esther sent Mordecai over the house of Haman. Esther spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and begged him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his plan that he had planned against the Jews. So she is again gone to the king, which again is, okay, if you remember in the last chapter, she was, you know, they had had the dinner, she had pointed out Haman, the king was very angry, he had Haman killed, and now they finished that meeting, and so now it's a matter of her going to present herself to the king again. You might not have remembered that, but she's now presenting herself to the king one more time, and really without being summoned. So, but I guess she feels that, it doesn't really go into detail, but it appears that she feels that it's you know, they're in a better relationship and a stronger relationship, and you know, the king realizes, let's just be honest, the king realizes that he should not have listened to Haman and that he's gotten everybody in this big mess. I mean, he's the king of the world and he is not a very humble person. And he, you know, but I think that he does realize that this was, he already realizes this was not a wise choice. And so he is working with Esther and Mordecai to get this all resolved in the best way. But he's got to make sure that he does not make himself weaker in the eyes of the people. That's very important, because so much of this is this political wrangling. If he's not careful, then there can be a big, he can be dead. We already know in the first chapter that Mordecai saved him from an assassination plot. So this would not be out of the stretch of imagination that someone could assassinate him and then he'll be gone. So he's got to really make sure that his stock does not go down in the eyes of the people. So he's got to, you know, really walk a fine line. And he knows that. And she knows that too. So she's begging him with tears that he will reverse this plan. And so the king held out the golden scepter. If you remember, the golden scepter is where she, even though she's not been summoned, if the king, that's okay. As long as the king holds out his golden scepter, then he will hold that out and that person is not killed for coming in without having been summoned. So he held it out. She touched it. And again, understanding her place in this whole thing. And it's much like us that we, of course, the Lord is much more, it is not like King Xerxes, but he is the one in ultimate power. So there's that symbolism there. And so that we understand that we are coming to the Lord and praying and pleading with tears, Lord, rescue us from our enemies, save us from their plot against us. And so this is that relationship there is the symbolism. So she arose and she stood before the king. She said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, I am pleasing in his eyes. You hear all that? Four different things. Get to your point, girlfriend. It's a matter of her showing her unbelievable respect for the king. And we do the same thing. We love the Lord. He's our best friend, but we also go before him very humbly and recognizing that he is the Lord and he's the one in control. And he's the one that we have to show great respect to, right? It's the same thing. So she's asking him, you know, and she's clearly pleased him. She's clearly, you know, pleased him. And she understands that he has to do what he feels is right. She understands that he knows something more than what she knows. She understands maybe her portion of it, but he understands the big picture. And so it's the same thing with when we pray to the Lord. We pray, but we always say, your will be done, and recognizing that he understands the full picture. And so that's the way she is doing it with him as the king. Same thing with President Trump. You know, here was yesterday on the 20th of February, the Supreme Court came down saying that the President Trump couldn't use these tariffs that he's been using, which he wanted to use these because this was a little bit easier and not as harsh against the people in the world. But he has a backup plan. And that's what a lot of people didn't realize, you know, when this edict came down from the Supreme Court. They thought, oh, well, what are we going to do now? And we're, you know, if we're not careful, we could panic. But the reality is we don't have to panic because we know President Trump has all this stuff worked out. He knows, you know, he's got a plan on all this. And ultimately, the Lord has a plan in all this. So anyway, so she has to recognize that he has to do things within his the wisdom and the full picture. Okay. So, same thing with, I'm going to go off into this Epstein thing. Everyone has to realize that President Trump knows, you know, he signed the bill and did not veto the bill to release the Epstein files, you know, and it has to be done in the proper way, in the right timing. And so just trust the plan, trust President Trump. He knows the best way to do this and the right timing. And so it really is very frustrating when people are dogging on him when they don't maybe understand the full picture. And so I really like how a lot of people are saying, let him cook, let him do his thing. You know, what else do you need to see from the man? He's proven himself that he just works and works and works and always comes out on top. You know, here it is Saturday and he's working today in the White House. You know, he just never stops working for us. Unbelievable. Thank you, Lord, right? All right, so she's doing the same thing. She's going, like we do in prayer, she's going before the king. And so she wants him to reverse these letters that were devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who were in all the king's provinces. So that's what she's wanting him to do, and that sounds reasonable to her. And she's saying, you know, for how can I endure to see the evil that would come to my people? How can I endure to see the destruction of my relatives? Right? Of course, that's what we say. Lord, how can we endure seeing what's happening to the people of Iran? How can we endure And he even said, President Trump just even said yesterday, he said they've been going through hell. So he's very much aware of this, you know, or the people of Venezuela or the people of Gaza. He's very much aware. And thankfully, everything's looking up so much in Gaza, so much better. We're headed in the right direction. Finally. So it happened. It just took, you know, longer than any of us wanted it to, but it, you know, it did happen. So then a King Ahasuerus, Xerxes, said to the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, "See, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows, which because he laid his hand on the Jews. Write also to the Jews as it pleases you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may not be reversed by any man." What is he saying here? He's telling her, write another edict. The edict can't be reversed. In other words, he's telling her, this edict that Haman sent out with my signet ring cannot be reversed. You can't go and grab those papers back. They were sent out on, you know, these fast horses all throughout the entire 127 provinces of the kingdom of Persia. They can't be reversed, but you can send out another edict, and you can tell everyone in that edict that Haman is dead. And his house is now in the hands of the queen and her cousin Mordecai. So what is that saying? It's basically saying we're reversing the edict, the original edict. It's not reversing it, but it's telling everyone, Haman's out, Esther and Mordecai are in. Okay? That's what's happening in this picture, and this is what we're seeing here. Their edict against us is still in place of what they're trying to do. They're still trying to kill us. They're still trying with every which way. But now, for example, on the wars, they're trying to foment all these wars. Now we have a board of peace. The board of peace supersedes all their plans for war. The tariffs and the all of the negotiations for trade deals, that supersedes their plans for war. You see what I'm saying? It's not that the edict gets reversed. It gets replaced and superseded, right? All right. So now, or on their plan to kill us with, the pandemics or whatever, you know, the Pfizer's, all this, all these things that they've done. What we do is we replace it with now RFK being in these positions of authority so that now we're no longer, you know, allowing the dyes in the food. We're no longer, you know, allowing all the things that they've done to the food. We're getting all these things set right. With the soil and all that. That is it's very complicated. It's so complicated to get it all sorted out because they've been wrecking our soil and wrecking our health for such a long time. And so what do you do about the glyphosates and trusting, okay, why are they doing this with the glyphosates? And maybe we're having the glyphosates made in our country so that they are not the terrible glyphosates that have come from China, and just trust the plan that they are doing everything they possibly can to get things set right and not destroy our farmers in the process, okay? And that, again, is where we really just need to trust these good people. We know President Trump is doing the right thing. We know that RFK Jr. is doing the right thing, and just trust them and how they're trying to get this done in the best way possible. All right, so again, here you see this happening. I think I'm just so thankful for this book of Esther because it really helps us to see, you know, how things have to be done when you're in these high positions. With us, it's like just sign an edict and be done. It's not that simple, right? You with me? So, yes, they have been poisoning us for a very long time. I'm so thankful. If you haven't seen my health page, you know, that's another piece of the puzzle. We are reversing that curse because we are detoxing. You know, you're doing the detox every day. If you're not doing that, you really need to be doing your detox every day. This is on Melissa, freedomforce.live/detox. We're doing getting the nutrients in our bodies. I do the green smoothie. I talk about that all the time. You've got to be doing a green smoothie somehow to get these nutrients into your body And I find that the smoothie is the best way to do it. It's delicious, and you get the protein in you. Go to my channel and you'll see how to make a smoothie. Try it, and I just believe that it'll really help you so much. The super greens, who's eating their spirulina today? I'm getting off the subject. The point is, how do they reverse these edicts against us to damage our health? And it's because we are taking our ownership of our health ourselves, and we're not, doing maybe the same things that we've done before. We're reading the labels. We're making sure that we are eating, proper food, and we're getting the proper protein and all of this. All right. So, but all these edicts are therefore being reversed because they're being superseded. So he said, write another edict and put the seal on it. I gave you the ring, put the seal on it so that they know that it's written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, and it cannot be reversed, but it can be superseded. Okay. Then the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. I don't know how to say that exactly, but on the 23rd day of the month. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews and to the local governors and the governors and princes of the provinces, which are from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to every province according to its writing, to every people in their language, and to the Jews in their writing and in their language. So everybody's getting the skinny straight from Mordecai. Now, what's going to end up happening when the day of Purim comes? They are all going to support the Jews. They're all going to support God's people. And we don't have a copy of the letter that he sent, but something in that letter let everybody know to support them, to make sure that they had the things that they need so they could fight back. And then, to be honest, a lot of the people who were intended to kill the Jews, they got scared. But we'll get to that in a second. All right, so Sivan 23 is June 8th. All right, so this was all done pretty quickly. If you remember, we had, the edict came out, Mordecai was crying and wailing, and all the people were wailing when they were in sackcloth and ashes. And so immediately that's when, Esther found out about it and started the whole prayer process of the 3 days of fasting and prayer and went to the king immediately. So this all happened very quickly. And we're seeing that that's very similar to where we are. You may not feel that way, but think of the entire span of time. Since Daniel was given this vision of defeating the enemy, that was 2,500 years ago. And here we are just in the little span of 7 years, 8 years since the Great Awakening started, September 23rd, 2017. You guys know this. For those of you who are new, you don't know, go to melissaredpill.com, and you'll see on the bottom, you'll see this beautiful sign in the heavens, which was a kickoff to the Great Awakening and the Battle of Armageddon. And so 7 years is a drop in the bucket. 8 years is a drop in the bucket compared to how long we've been in this battle. Okay, so that's, again, this all happened very quickly, and you'll see that this happened, by June, the wheels were in motion to reverse this edict. And same thing with us. And then we're going to see how when the day comes, they were ready, and they took down their enemies. Same thing with us. We are able to bring down our enemies. I just feel that we are there. I'm just hoping this Purim is the Purim humanity has been waiting for so long. All right, so that's, I want you to see that's what the 23rd of Sivan is June 8th. All right, so now, so he wrote all this in the name of King Ahasuerus, King Xerxes, and sealed it with the king's ring, sent letters by courier on horseback, riding on royal horses that were bred from swift steeds. No little old broken down, horses. These were the king's horses. And so he says, it says in those letters, the king granted the Jews who were in every city to gather themselves together and to defend their lives. This is what we're doing. We are defending ourselves. When we speak the truth, we are defending ourselves. That's what the whole point of social media is that we are defending ourselves. When we refuse to take the jab, we are defending ourselves. When we refuse to do, whatever they are saying, we are defending ourselves. When we, to be honest, when we refuse to have some of these monitors and video cameras in our homes, or Alexa, which is listening to every word we say. We are defending ourselves. When we, whatever it is, when we're fighting, we're pushing back on the election fraud, we are defending ourselves. All these things are ways that we're defending ourselves. And to kill, destroy, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that would assault them, their little ones and people and women, and to plunder their possessions. So what is this about? Well, they could get guns. Not guns. They didn't have guns back then. But you know what I'm saying? That they would be able to use weapons and gather weapons, gather an arsenal. They've got from June until next March, you know, almost a year, to be able to prepare so that they could defend themselves and their little ones and their family and their possessions. Anybody comes at us, we are able to defend ourselves. This is the Second Amendment back in the day. This was a kingdom that you really didn't normally have the right to defend yourself. That this, you had to basically, you know, if they came to kill you, then you didn't have any weapons with which to defend yourselves. And that's what's happened all over the world, that people could not defend themselves. Our forefathers read Esther. They knew the book of Esther. They knew how important that it was to be able to defend your life and your family and your possessions. And so that's why you see here, you know, they took the lesson from this to create then our Second Amendment. You have to be able to defend yourself. And this is what happened in the book of Esther, chapter 8. All right, on one day that they would be able to do this, on one day in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. In other words, on this March, on March 3rd, on the full moon in spring. Again, in our day, this is coming up, this blood moon, full moon, is coming up on March 3rd. A copy of the letter that the decree should be given out in every province was published to all the peoples that the Jews should be ready for that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Right? This is what we want. We want to avenge ourselves on our enemies, on the Epsteins, on the everyone who's in this document. This huge document is the evidence, all the evidence that we need to prove that these people have a plot against us and do terrible, horrible crimes against humanity and terrible crimes against children and how they run this game. I've been talking about this week how they have done it, and that basically Epstein was in most recent video we did on Tuesday. If you haven't seen it, go and watch that one. That how they have used him, he was the connection point to the bloodline families, to the Rothschilds, the ones at the top. And so that's how they would do all these false flags or all these evil things. This is how they did it. Okay, so he's writing this letter. They're publishing it so that they'd be ready to avenge themselves on their enemies. We are doing the same thing. We are going to avenge ourselves because now everybody is realizing these people are pure evil. This is not just that they were told to do this. These people are their enemies, just like the Epsteins and the Andrews and all the ones who are in the Epstein files. We see now who they are and how they've worked together against humanity. And they are our enemies. We have to avenge ourselves on our enemies. So the couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. The decree was given out in the city of Susa. Susa is basically right in smack dab in the middle of this entire empire of the Persian Empire. And so it's right there in the middle is where Susa is. That's where the royal seat was and the palace for the king. Mordecai went out of the presence of the king in royal clothing of blue and white, with the great crown of gold, and with a robe of fine linen and purple, in the city of Susa. And the city of Susa shouted and was glad. Everyone is very glad that there's going to be justice, there's going to be equity and fairness, and that the people can defend themselves. So they're all very, very happy. Now, I'll tell you, on the colors, the blue and the white, and the purple and the fine linen, those are colors of a priest. If you remember, back in Moses had been given all this information about the robes the priests should wear to help to bring the people to the Lord. Well, Mordecai is in that position. He is wearing these royal colors, but also not just a royal, but a royal priest. So he's a position of authority, and he's also in the position to help people to know to walk with the Lord and to see how the Lord is rescuing them and to work in concert with the Lord. Forget separation of church and state. The whole thing is that they've used that phrase, the church and state, separation of church and state, to say that you can't have anything to do with God. That is not biblical. That is not what that phrase was intended to mean. They've just used that phrase for that reason. The whole point is to not hamper the faith in the people. And this is what's so great about Mordecai. He is making sure that the people have the freedom to defend themselves, to pray, to have their religious rights. And what's more important of a religious right than to be able to defend yourself and your family? So yeah, we just had something in Houston, in Texas, where Ken Paxton said, you know, each state, each ISD school district can give the children the authority, the time, a lot of time in their school day to pray. And most of the school districts refused. Heartbreaking. Because they are, I don't even know what to say what I think. But anyway, it's most of the people don't want to have the prayer in schools or prayer in any place. They don't want to have the connection of freedom of to pray. They want to squelch and stifle and stamp out prayer in schools and in every place. But the great thing is he's being, with these this clothing, everyone recognized. People in this day might not recognize, but the blue and the white and the royal fine linen, robe of fine linen and purple is indicative of that royal priest. Okay? So that was his role. The Jews had light, gladness, joy, and honor. That's what we're going to have, you guys. Honor. We're going to have honor. All these things. We'll have light, gladness, joy, and honor. That we'll be treated with respect and recognize that we were not the offscouring of the earth, that we were actually the ones who were fighting on the Lord's side. And so this is really great. And we're seeing this. It's so wonderful to see that President Trump, who is promoting prayer, he's promoting the protection of the unborn. He's promoting righteousness in this law and order. He's promoting this, and he is in this high position of authority. Pinch yourself. We are just such a beautiful thing. Amazing. And same thing with Rubio. Same thing with Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. He's doing the same thing. He's making sure that we have Christ-centered Defense Department, War Department. You know, some of the verses that he puts out are absolutely amazing. We put Christ is King. Christ is the first. Just pinch yourself that this is what's happening in these positions of authority. The demons are shrieking. They hate that. They do not want Christ to be recognized as the King at all. And they've had all these evildoers who squelched and stifled prayer and righteousness for so long, but no more. Isn't that wonderful? That's just so, so exciting to see. And we'll have light and gladness and joy and honor. In every province, in every city, wherever the king's command and his decree came, the Jews had gladness, joy, and a feast and holiday. They're so happy. So this is their celebration in June. There's going to be another one coming up on Purim. I'll show you that in just a second. Many from among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews had fallen on them. I think that's very, very important that they turned, basically it's saying they turned to the Lord. They turned and they said, we want to worship the Lord because we realize he's right. And I do think that a lot of these young people are seeing that they've been pushed down and say, you can't pray and you can't do, and God's not real and all this. And now they're boomeranging back to the Lord. Very, very exciting. In the book of Revelation, it talks about in chapter 14 that there will be a great harvest. And I believe that's what this is that the more people just opening their hearts to the Lord and pushing back on this this control construct against prayer. All right, so that is chapter 8. All right, you guys, you ready for chapter 9? All right, so here we go, the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, when the king's command and his decree came near to be put into execution, on the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to conquer them, But it turned out the opposite happened, that the Jews conquered those who hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who wanted to harm them. They're not playing. They said, we're coming after you. If you've been trying to harm us, we're going to defeat you. Now, this is what's going to happen with us. This is why I keep thinking that the day is Purim. One day it will be Purim. Now there's another day when all the debts are canceled. There's another day when, you know, everyone's freed. But this is the day when our enemies are annihilated. Okay, the Lord has many biblical festivals. This biblical festival is the one where the enemies are annihilated. It's on, again, the 12th month of Adar, on the 13th day of the month. That is a full moon. The full moon this year is on the evening of March 2nd. Okay. And this command came down. They've been waiting and preparing and getting all their weapons ready to go since June. Okay, I'm going to just use the calendar dates that we recognize from June all the way to March. It's a long time to get prepared. And so they're like, here's the day's finally gotten here. Just like for us, we've been preparing. And this day, I'm hoping, is finally getting here. And especially with seeing Andrew falling, and the Epstein files, and all these people being exposed, and we're sharing all this information about the Epstein files. And I just feel like this is it. Oh, I hope and pray in Jesus' name this is it. We're so ready. Anyway, the Jews gathered themselves together to do this, to lay hands on them. No one could withstand them because the fear of them had fallen on all the people. I think that's what's happening. You guys saw the picture. Where is the picture? I'm going to show you super quick the picture I have on here of, this is the one. Here it is. The mighty are fallen. Look at that face. Look at this face that Andrew has. He is panic stricken. I have a feeling that they're all feeling the same way, that they all are realizing, oh no, look what if that happened to a king, to Prince Andrew in the royal family, then there's no hope for any of us. I love it. I'm so happy. That makes me so happy to see that face. That's the face. That's the face of terror. I actually was just listening to someone that has been exposed and in the files, in the Epstein files, and I could tell by the way they were talking that they've lost their confidence is gone. And they're speaking. They're saying words, but you can tell they don't have the power behind them that they had before, that confidence, and they're shaking. And I could tell this person is shaken. Awesome. So everyone was in fear because they realized this is it. And I think, like, with what happened this week, here we are again on the week of February, it was February 16th, the week of February 16th, 2026, Les Wexner did a testimony and a deposition about Epstein, and he also revealed the word Rothschilds. That was amazing because they're throwing him under the bus. He's like, well, I'll throw them under the bus too, because he realizes they're all going down. It's just a matter of time. And so that's the whole point. When you join in league with them, they're supposed to protect you. Well, they weren't protecting him. So he says, well, I'm not protecting you either. I think is really what the whole point was about him revealing the Rothschilds. He's smart enough to know what he's doing. He's not, you know, senile. So yeah, so you the fear has fallen on all of them. Very, very exciting. And they realize it's over. It's over. There's nothing that can stop what is coming. You know, everything else that they're doing is just futility. All the princes of the provinces, the local governors, the governors, and those who did the king's business helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai had fallen on them. Again, this is likely from that second edict we were just talking about. Mordecai had sent out this second edict. They know that he's risen into power. Haman's not coming back into power. He's dead. And so now you've got to figure out, okay, what are we going to do here? We've got to just submit to Mordecai. And Mordecai had said to help. I have a feeling he had said to help them, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're helping the Jews. For Mordecai was great in the king's house. His fame went out throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai grew greater and greater. And remember again, that it was a second edict. You have to protect the king. The king this cannot come directly from the king. It goes through Mordecai because the king has to be separate from this. And everyone has to show homage and respect to the king. And they have politically, it's got to be done this way. So everything was going through Mordecai. The Jews struck all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and with the slaughter and destruction and did what they wanted to all those who hated them. There we go. That's what's going to happen, you people. Are y'all hearing me, you guys? This is what's going to happen. This is the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. I want to talk about all the time. End times for them. It's the end times for them and their rule. We're going to do anything we want. They're out. They're removed from positions of authority. They're brought under prosecution. They're brought under judgment. They're punished for their crimes. And they're put under public scorn. That's what's going to happen. And so 1,000 years of peace for us. Ah, yay. All right. So remember Esther chapter 9, verse 5. The Jews struck their enemies with the stroke of the sword and with the slaughter and destruction and did what they wanted to those who hated them. This is going to happen. These people will be held to an account for their crimes against humanity, against children, and put under public scorn and ridicule. This is all throughout God's word. If you're not familiar also with my book, The Major Clues for Minor Prophets, they told us all about that. This one right here, Major Clues for Minor Prophets, I have the audiobooks on melissaredpill.com if you prefer just to listen to it. But they were telling us how they'll be put in public scorn. It's very exciting, very exciting. All right, so in the citadel of Susa, capital city, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. They killed Parshandatha. I'm not going to read all these names. These are too hard of names. These are the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha. Boo. Haman's 10 sons were killed, the Jews' enemy, but they didn't lay their hand on the plunder. All right, so his sons, not only his house has been taken away, but now his sons have been killed. They're not going to be able to come back and try to do what their father did in a different day. That line is dead. I do find it very interesting that it's 10 lines, like the 10 bloodlines, like the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, right? On that day, the number of those who were slain in the city of Citadel of Susa was brought before the king. The king said to the queen, "The Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in the city of Susa, including the 10 sons of Haman. What then have you done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your further request? It shall be done." In other words, okay, here we are. Status check. Okay, here was the day we've been waiting for. What's the status all throughout the provinces? Is everything set right? Is everything set so that the Jews are protected and that God's people are safe and that the enemies are stopped? Is that all sorted out? And so he's saying, whatever you want to do to get, I trust that you're working on the benefit of our empire. So what would you like to have done? It'll be granted to you. This is our prayer. When we get through this, it's almost like, President Trump will say, okay, is there anything else? Yes, Lord, clean out this, clean out that. The dog catcher, he's no good. Whatever it is, to get things set right in everyone's community so everything can be set at peace and that there's no more people who are trying to harm us. We're going to work and we're going to do whatever it takes to get this whole thing cleaned out. And we're not, as we said, I've said many times, the Bible says that we will look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. We're going to get this completely eradicated. This entire demonic group will be gone. There will not be one left, not one shred, not root or branch. The root in Haman's family was gone. That was the root of this evil. Was his 10 sons, and they had to be gone. So look what Esther says to do. Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do tomorrow also according to today's decree." Give us another day. Give us a second day to continue working to get this cleaned out. This is not revenge. This is justice. This is setting things right. This is getting the evil cleared out. That's what she's doing. And check the end of the sentence. let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Esther is beautiful. She's smart. She's kind. But she's also tough. She is tough. She knows how this works. She knows you have to show by overwhelming force that we are not kidding. This is very much like when President Trump shows all the time where they've taken the drug boats and blasted them into hell. Gone. This is a clear message. We are not playing with drug dealers. We're not playing with anyone. Oops. We're not playing with anyone who is doing evil. This is the day of justice, that we're not going to put up with any of this. And this is what Esther was doing. She said, would asking the king for permission to have these 10 sons of Haman, hanged on the gallows. They're already dead. They're already dead. But she's saying, can we hang them on the gallows? And also to have a second day. And the king commanded this to be done. He said, yes, if you feel that that's what needs to be done, you know. And so again, he's having that line of separation that this was requested by the queen. This was not, you know, and he's granting this request. Again, this is why we pray, because we ask for something and the king, the Lord, grants the request. Okay. This is how prayer works. And so we pray and the Lord responds. A decree was given out in Susa and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Remember how I showed you last week how they have like that big pike and they stick their body on it? Can you imagine? All throughout the town you'd see these 10 sons. Everybody knew Haman and his family is gone. It was a clear message. This, anyone who's part of their whole New World Order cabal system, who thought, hey, we're in with the Haman's sons. Even though Haman's dead, we're in with Haman's sons. They realize now they did not want to be part of that. That is what it talks about in the book of Revelation also, that there were those who after they saw the judgment coming down, they were in great fear and they gave glory to God. Remember that passage? This is what it's talking about. They're in great fear. This is what's happening when they see what happened to Haman's sons. They were not playing. The Jews who were in Susa gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also on the month of Adar, and killed 300 men in Susa, but they didn't lay their hand on the plunder. The other Jews who, again, that's for a different festival. This is the day of annihilation. This is not the day of the plunder. This is the day of the annihilation. Okay? So the other Jews who were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together, defended their lives, had rest from their enemies, and killed 75,000 of those who hated them. But they didn't lay hand on the plunder. 75,000. That's a lot of people that were killed on that second day. Now, it doesn't give you the number of out of the other 127 provinces, how many were killed on that on the first day. But on the second day, 75,000. So this is the cabal and their minions. Back in the day, it was 75,000. I don't know what the number is going to be, but whatever it's going to be is however many it takes to get the evildoers out. Get ready. We're going to see a Purim. I hope it's this year, but whatever year it is, buckle up. All right? 75,000 back in the day. That wasn't just in one, you know, the kingdom of Persia. There are a lot of evildoers, a lot of evil people that would do harm to children and with impunity. If you remember, was it the Prince of Norway who was on 35 counts of rape? He's like, but I'm elite. Yeah, you're going to find out you're elite because you're going to be held to an account. Ooh, I get the tickly. This was done on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of that month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. They're all going to rejoice. They were like, okay, we're done. We finally can rejoice, we can rest, because these people are gone. But the Jews who were in Susa assembled together on the 13th and 14th days, and on the 15th day of the month they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages who live in the unwalled towns make the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting, a holiday and a day of sending presents of food to one another. This is what we should have been doing all this time, is a biblical festival of celebrating this great victory over our enemies. The first day, the blood moon day, which is on the 2nd of March, is it goes through the 3rd of March. That is the day that we destroy our enemies. That's biblically the day of Purim. And then after that, you have the celebration. You have 2 days of the annihilation, and then 1 day of celebration. All right. So, sending food and sending gifts and sending, helping people who are poor, whatever. It's just a day of great rejoicing. Wouldn't this have been great if we had been celebrating this all this time? Then it would really have seeded our thoughts that this day would come when we would destroy our enemies. But they didn't want that. Of course, they did not want that. This was, if you remember earlier, okay, maybe I think in a little bit, it's going to say this celebration should be kept perpetually. Let me read this to you. In verse 20, Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both near and far, to enjoin themselves that they should keep the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar yearly, annually, every year. This is what we were supposed to do. And there are passages in the Minor Prophets that talks about, for those of you who mourn for that we don't have the festivals will be restored. And it's this will be a day that we can celebrate the destruction of our enemies. I mean, it's just going to be, to be honest, Halloween, bye-bye. This will be our new celebration, is the end of the New World Order cabal that has caused so much havoc throughout the world. As the days in which the Jews had rest from their enemies, and the month which was turned to them from sorrow to gladness, from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, of sending presents of food to one another, and gifts to the needy. The Jews accepted the custom that they had begun as Mordecai had written to them. Okay, they all celebrated this as the great day that the enemies, the evildoers, were eradicated. Beautiful. And that they all, the other ones, had turned to the Lord, had repented and become Jews. So they accepted this custom because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is the lot. Remember how he drew straws or whatever it was to select this day, which was 3-3. It is the lot to consume them and to destroy them. But when this became known to the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked plan, which he had planned against the Jews, should return on his own head. Everyone knew, because of the letters of Mordecai, that this was, even though it wasn't reversed, it was clear that was not what the king wanted you to do. He wanted to destroy the evildoers, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Yes, that's the summary, basically, of the book of Esther right there in verse 24 and 25 of chapter 9. Therefore, they called these days Purim, from the word poor. Therefore, because of the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and that which had come to them, the Jews established and imposed on themselves, on their descendants, and on all those who joined themselves to them, so that it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to what was written and according to its appointed time every year. We're supposed to do this every year. This is, wouldn't it have been so different if we had had this seated in our thoughts, that there's a celebration of the destruction of our enemies? They just refused to let that happen. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor their memory perish from their offspring. This is why we celebrate Purim every year. Well, that's why we talk about it every year. This is a celebration that we need to have to call this into remembrance and to look forward to the day when our enemies will be destroyed. Yay! I love it. I love it. Okay, let me see if there's anything else I want to add to that, because that is the story of Purim. Okay, so he was to help an official. I got that. I told you that. I wanted to make sure that... I do feel it. Xerxes kind of felt, he realized he'd been tricked, but he had to be, I said that. I want to make sure that you're clear on that. Yeah, and that Esther sent a strong message about sending those out on the gallows, even though they were already dead. No, hang their bodies up on the gallows. I don't know what's going to happen here, people. I do not know what's going to happen, but just be prepared. It's going to be a wild deal to see these people destroyed. It's going to get ready. Get ready. I don't know how many people are ready for that. All right. So, and to celebrate and have rest from our enemies, that is it. That is chapters 8 and 9 of the book of Esther. And so now just, I think we only have 2 more chapters. You know what? I was supposed to just do chapter 8 today, but that's okay. We did 8 and 9. And so next week we'll do 10, and we'll do a kind of an Esther wrap up. I hope this has been exciting for you. And so then we'll be really, okay, that'll be on the 28th of February, just a couple of days before Purim. And don't forget, this is that blood moon under the foot of Leo, the lion. How awesome is that? Yeah, love it. I love it too. All right, so I think that's it. Okay, these are where the books are over on Amazon. You can get them for $2.99, and you can email them to people for $2.99. Yes, you can see also The Golden Age. So if you haven't read that one, definitely check it. Thank you so much for going and putting on your the reviews. If you could review all of them, I would really appreciate it. If you've read these books, I hope that they've been a blessing to you. And all right, so I think that's it. Yeah, so that's what we're working on, The Golden Age. This is all the wonderful things in The Golden Age. I only have 4 more chapters to do, so hopefully soon I will have that out for you. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you that you are rescuing us from our enemies. Thank you, Lord, that Purim is this great festival, that even though we didn't keep it, that you kept it. It's been in your heart and your mind to destroy our strong enemies. We didn't realize, though, for so many years that these people that we trusted were doing all this to us. And now, thank you that you've awakened us. We realize who it is, and that we are going to do exactly like Esther and Mordecai and remove these from the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you have raised us into this position of authority, and especially our wonderful president and all those who are in these positions, like Pete Hegseth and Secretary Mark Rubio and Secretary Bessent, to set everything right, Lord. And then there'll be such great, great rejoicing. Lord, we're going to put this petition out there. Lord, if it seems good in your sight, we would really like for this to be March 2nd of this year when all these enemies are brought down. But even if it's not this year, we trust that your plan, we trust you know the right way to do this, to get everything set right. And I pray again for everyone on the battalion, strengthen them, continue to guide them, give them the wisdom to know exactly what to share and who to share it with and what to do and everything every day. We just are completely your servants, completely in your hands to do to do your will. And it is our joy to do your will. We just pray you continue to strengthen our bodies, strengthen us so that we can continue to fight. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. And I'm going to show you one more quick thing before we go. So don't forget to go on the health page. If you haven't done that already, these are the health links. You can find out great things for your puppy dogs, your kitty cats, ways to improve your health. That's the smoothies are here, and they've got videos about how you can get your health going right. You can definitely check into Q Patriot. We're saving like $1,000 a year using the Q Patriot streaming app. Love that. So check all that out over on melissaredpill.com. And I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central. Okay, guys? I love you. I'm going to play you one more song, and out we go. All right. Love you guys, and I will talk to you later. White linen followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.